Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
So, hello.
Hello.
This is Lisa. I'm here with Bruce and Judy. They happen to be my in-laws. And I actually really like my in-laws, which is kind of a gift. So, it is. So, I am interviewing them. Just want to hear their love story because I don't know it. And I want to hear all the juicy details. So, you both can answer this one. Let's see who gets it right. How long have you been together?
58 years.
58.
Been married 57.
Yeah. Okay.
But what we actually met 58 years ago, right?
Yeah,
about
close.
A year before we got married.
Yeah.
So, what do you remember about the first time that you laid eyes on Judy?
I thought she was a cutie. I was interested. She had a roommate that was cute too. But Judy was a member of the church that I was a member of. Paula was not. So I was attracted to Judy right away. We met at Colorado State College. Actually, did we meet at the bonfire that night?
No.
We'd met before that, hadn't we? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the first time you met?
The first time I met, I thought he was cute and he was just interesting and had a lot of energy and personality. And my first thought was, I just got to fix him up with my roommate. She would really like him.
How selfless of you.
Yeah. I was thinking about Paula.
Oh my gosh. And he was like, I'm not interested in her. So you just play along with that for a while.
That is a little inconsistent because I'd just gotten back from a mission. Paula was a Catholic. She smoked. Why would you think I would have any interest in Paula?
You were just kind of fun and like Paula. I just thought these two guys should get together.
I mean, I didn't know Paula. I didn't know at that time Paula was a Catholic. I didn't know she smoked. I found all this out later.
Oh.
Obviously, that would have been a turnoff for me.
Yeah, yeah. But she could see, like, you guys had the same energy or something.
Oh, yes,
and you were just
yes.
Like, ah, I can see. So that leads me to kind of, I want to rewind a little bit and just kind of get some background, just because I know a little bit of both of your backgrounds. And I can understand why you'd think that. Because, well, tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in Oregon and Colorado, and mostly Colorado. I mean, I left Oregon when I was in the second grade, and have one sister, and just good parents that, you know, were just had a lot of fun, and I just had a great childhood. I have great fond memories of my childhood, and
I think one of the things that impressed me most about your parents, whom I never got to meet, but I will never forget every Sunday if I was hanging out with Brad, and this was when we were just dating, Grandpa Mink would call.
Yes.
And
yes.
I could hear the conversation from across the room because he yelled into the phone.
Oh yeah. He was hard of hearing.
He was very hard of hearing. So I could be across the room and hear every word. And I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, that Grandpa Mink would take the time to just call his grandchildren and check in with them.
And he had 10.
On a regular basis. Yeah, that many grandchildren. And at that time, you know, Secret had already passed away.
Yes.
And I've never seen anybody look at another person with that kind of a sparkle.
I think that's what I remember the most about my dad. Every time.
Always really impressed me that they could be of different religious backgrounds or none at all and still get along wonderfully, which is why I'm thinking, oh, it wouldn't be a big deal for you to be Catholic and for you to be LDS because that can work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where my brain is going with that.
It didn't enter my mind at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just got off a mission. I was a returned missionary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're all, you know, spiced up with, you know, converting and why the church is true and all this stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true or not, but do they tell you need to go home and immediately get married?
Oh, no. I mean, the thought was, you know, within a year or so.
Yeah.
Because I think they could see that, you know, the hormones.
Well, it's 22-year-old
guy, you know, probably be smart to get married. I mean, that's kind of the approach I got from my mission president and, you know, anybody I talked to about it. But they weren't real pushy. It was just kind of a practical concern.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you, where were you? You were born and raised in many places.
Yeah, well, no, California, really. Southern California.
Okay.
And we moved to Colorado between my sophomore and junior year of high school.
Okay, so that's how you end up going to Colorado State.
No, I ended up going to Colorado State because I'd gone my freshman year at BYU. Mm-hmm. When I got back from my mission, it was too late to get back into BYU. The draft was going right now, so if I didn't get back into college somewhere, I was going to get drafted. And Colorado State had a late period of time. And my parents or somebody knew somebody from, I think it was Bishop Gagnon, from the school who said he could get me in. And so I ended up at Colorado State. And that's how I met Judy. I would never have met her.
Yeah, if it weren't for so many things.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you met at a bonfire.
No.
I think that's the first time I asked you out, wasn't it? Didn't I ask you out at the bonfire?
We met at an institute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it's an LDS
social class.
But it's more of a social gathering.
Yeah. As we met there, and then probably a week or so later, there was the bonfire at college for homecoming, I believe. And we both were there. We didn't have a date. We weren't going to meet up or anything, but we were both there and we did run into each other. And then we kind of hung out. And then I think you asked me out on a date like in a week later or something.
So what was your first date?
And that I cannot remember. I have no idea.
I know one of our dates, we went and saw Alfie.
Yeah, but that...
What's it all about, Alfie? Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I'm thinking of that weird-looking creature.
Yeah, Alf.
No. Okay. No.
Yeah. No. I don't remember what our first date was.
Well, that was early on. We went and saw Alfie. And who was it that Michael Caine? Michael Caine? Do you know who Michael Caine is? An English actor?
Nope.
He played Alfie. Well, back then, that was a very... Because this would have been in 67.
No, it was 66.
Yeah, it would have been... Yeah, I got back... I got back from my mission in the fall of 66. I went from 64 to 66. So that's right. That's when we met, the fall of 66.
Judy knows.
Yeah.
She'll keep you straight.
She's got a better memory than I do.
But no, I don't. Yeah. I don't. I'm not sure, but we.
What was your most memorable date then?
Probably the time we went up to...
Estes Park.
Estes Park, yeah, my MG.
Estes Park is outside of Colorado or outside of Denver area. And we drove up there in this little MG and just up the mountain roads and all over the place and ran out of gas.
I was trying to look for an excuse maybe to go rent a motel.
It was a Sunday, sure, and nothing was open.
We were good kids. Didn't we talk about it?
No.
You must have
just been thinking it. No.
You were definitely thinking it.
Yeah, he was thinking that, I guess. But we were looking for a gas station, and everything was closed. But we did find one. And
so you had to walk all the way to a gas station and then haul the gas can back?
Yeah.
I think it was,
Yeah, an MG is a tiny car.
Yeah.
It's very big.
It only sits two people, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's a convertible.
Yeah.
They're cute.
So it's kind of cold.
Yeah.
This was
in the fall, right?
Uh-huh.
Fall.
It was in the fall.
And you stuck around. Hmm? You stuck around even though
I know. It was
memorable.
It was memorable. I mean, there were some weird things happening and the gas and everything, but it was fun.
So how did you know that you loved each other?
Well, we didn't at that point.
No, we dated most of that school year. And then we broke up, and I can't even remember why.
No, I was trying to think of that, too. I don't remember why.
I can't remember.
Because there were so many fish in the sea, maybe?
Maybe.
Because
I can't remember if it was an argument or something.
Didn't you date Steve over that summer? I dated.
But we broke up for some reason, which I can't even remember now. And he had fun all summer, and I had fun all summer and worked and everything. And then we had both transferred because I was out of state student at that point because my folks had moved up here.
Oh, that's right.
And so I was down at BYU, and Bruce was too. And I was just driving around with somebody one evening after he'd been there a week or two, and all of a sudden pulled right up to a car, and Bruce was in it next to me. It was like, oh my gosh, I know you. And I think
you were brand new to BYU at that time. Like, you'd only been there a week.
Yeah, I got there on a plane and a bus.
Yeah.
And I looked over and saw him, and oh my gosh, and jumped out of the car. I was really happy to see him. But I think right then I kind of knew, wow. Just this feeling I had when I saw him after being apart and just having fun with other people. It was just, wow, this is something
stars
special.
Were aligning.
Yeah. That's kind of how
that's
I felt.
I
and I don't know what he thought.
That
yeah,
is?
No, that's what I knew.
Yeah, when you guys, when
no
she
doubt.
Pulled up in the car next to you.
Uh-huh,
were you
I
in your MG?
Probably, yeah. Because
yeah,
I had the MG.
Still had it?
Uh-huh. I was zipping around the MG.
Wow.
But I was with someone else because I didn't have a car, but I don't even remember who I was
driving
around.
Were you dating the person
no,
you were with
no,
or just
I think
you were
it was
with somebody?
One of your roommates? Or...
I think, I don't know who it was, but I was in a car.
Yeah. So you both just knew at the same time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because we were engaged a week after.
Well, not a week after, but
after?
Well, it wasn't very long.
It was
after.
About 8 weeks.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, but we knew before that because we were trying to figure out how, because Judy had told her parents that summer some kind of, you know, things that weren't all that good about me.
All of a sudden,
I just called up because I had to call Cliff. Uh-huh. My father-in-law, and say, I want to marry your daughter.
And they didn't know anything about you at that point other than...
never met.
Okay.
Oh, no, my parents had never met
him. No, because you were pretty far away.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
So what were your reservations?
You know, I don't know that I told him anything. I just told him, you know, we just had broke up, and I just was going out with other people and didn't really talk about him or anything, you know? Just,
okay.
It was like... you know, one of those moments in your life, and now you move on. And so then it was like, oh,
yeah,
this is that person that you knew last year.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
But no, I didn't say anything negative to them.
So you knew, it's like within a week of transferring to this new school, that you guys were meant to be. Mm-hmm. So then who said I love you first? How did that go?
I don't know, but it was probably Bruce.
Probably.
I would think so.
Yeah. But it was before I asked you to marry me.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can't remember that either.
So were you surprised when he asked you? Or did you guys?
No. No, I think then we'd kind of been talking about it a little. And because we both would just seem to be on the same page after that year of dating and then 3 months, 4 months apart. And then just kind of like, wait, that was a good thing after all.
Yeah. Sometimes time apart.
Yeah.
And seeing what else is out there and realizing that's not for me.
Because so.
What people need. Mm-hmm. So how did you propose?
I'll let Judy tell you.
I want to hear it from both of you.
Yeah, you should tell her because it was your idea.
I want you to tell her.
Well, what was going through your mind? I've always wondered what it's like to have to propose to somebody. That seems terrifying.
Oh, you know, it would be if you didn't have already inkling that, you know, that you, the person you were going to ask was going to say, yeah, I want to.
That's
but
true.
By then, we knew that. It was just a matter of going through the formal step.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And so we made it kind of fun is what we did.
We did. He did.
What did you do?
Tell her.
Oh, all right. Well, I was just over there and I should have known that this was a sign. I've had several signs in my life that I've ignored. He gave me these dirty, stinky tennis shoes and wondered if I would wash them for him. And on the shoestring of the dirty, stinky tennis shoes was a ring. And it should have been a sign at that point that I was going to be doing his dirty, stinky laundry for like the rest of my life. But I said yes.
God. Yeah.
She got very excited.
She said, yes, I'll clean your dirty, stinky shoes forever.
A little emotional, but you know, Judy was never one to get really emotional. Like you see in the movies sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
The woman just begins
that's acting.
To cry. And, yeah. It was just kind of, sure, yeah, I'll do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, so then, so you guys knew you were going to get married. You're engaged. How long? Well, that would have been because you got married in December.
Right. It was like 2 months later that we got married.
Yeah.
Because this was in October, just before Halloween. And we got a little apartment in Provo, a little upstairs. You had to go up these stairs into this little apartment. It had this tiniest little bedroom with it wasn't even a standard size bed. It was bigger than a twin and smaller than a standard. And it pretty much took up the whole room. But there were windows on two sides of the room. It was gorgeous.
It used to be a porch.
Oh, that they converted into a bed.
A bedroom. And then a little kitchen and then a living room. And then you went up a few more stairs and there was the toilet and tub.
And the people that owned the home that this little apartment was at were professors at BYU.
Okay.
Have you been to BYU?
No. Okay. Didn't.
Because they named one of the drama or something they named there in one of the buildings is the T. Earl and Catherine Pardo Theater.
Uh-huh.
And those were our
performing arts building.
Oh, yeah. And they were, you were renting from,
yes.
So living in their house.
Yeah, upstairs.
We wanted to be in a regular ward. We didn't want to be in one of the college wards.
Oh,
We weren't interested in that.
Yeah.
Where somebody's telling you to have a baby every other day.
Well, how long before Jen came along?
We're married in the end of 67 and she was born in 70. So.
Oh, so you waited a couple years and finished up.
Mm-hmm. Was
that in Arizona when you had Jen? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because Judy was, when we got married, Judy was finishing her, let's say we got married in December. So you were going to finish your junior year. We were both going to finish our junior year, right? We were juniors. She was 20 and I was 22. I remember that because we were the national average at that time.
Oh, that was the normal.
For couples getting married. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, we were the national average. We got married in December. So I was 23 in April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So were there any obstacles that you guys had to overcome to make getting married work or...
One of the reasons that, and this goes back to why was I attracted to Judy? One of the reasons I was attracted to Judy was because she was such a positive person. And I was a little more on the negative side, critical of things. And Judy was kind of a Pollyanna type person almost. Almost a little naive. But I liked that. I really did. I've never told her this. And she's still that way.
I would have to agree. Let's down. If I'm feeling bummed out, you will always find a positive spin to things. And that's probably one of the things I love about you. Yeah, I agree.
I always tell Bruce, I'm a real morning person. I mean, when I wake up, my eyes are open, I'm up and I'm out of bed. And Bruce would whistle in the morning. And I thought, oh, that just so impressed me. I love that he whistled in the morning, thinking that he's a morning person. But now I found out he never stops whistling.
This is true.
I can't turn it off. Oh, well.
You're still a whistler. Oh, I love it. So you guys ended up moved down to Arizona.
Oh, wait. I needed something by what I remember the most about our wedding.
Oh, we did skip the wedding day. I forgot. Yeah.
Well, I often say, this is terrible, but that was the worst day of my life because my parents couldn't be there. And so it wasn't good that way. But the thing I remember most about our wedding is we drove up to Logan, Utah the night before, and in this little MG, and it was in December, and it was snowing, and we were driving, and it was blowing. And I was sitting there kind of nervous because, you know, we're going to get married, and the snow is coming into the car between the front windshield and the convertible top that was down.
Oh, there's just a little bit of a...
Yes, and the snow was coming in, and I thought, I am sitting inside of a car, and it is snowing on me. This has got to be a sign.
But that was the night before we were going to Colville. You probably know where Colville is.
My
cousin and her husband lived there, and he was the basketball coach at the high school. So we stayed with them the night before, and then we got up the next morning early and went on to
Logan.
That's just outside of Salt Lake, right?
Colville.
I am racking my brain to think where on earth that is.
I don't know.
It's on the way to your hometown.
On the way to Logan. Okay.
Yeah, it was on the way to Logan.
But that's what I always remember. I think, it is snowing inside of a car. Am I making a terrible mistake or what?
Exciting, wasn't it?
It was scary.
So when you got married, your parents couldn't be there. Was your sister there?
No.
No?
I was all alone.
Had Carol and Earl been through the temple then? By then?
Yeah, but I think with school and everything, I don't remember.
My parents were there.
Okay. Were they in California, living in California at that
Colorado.
Time? Oh, Colorado. Yeah. They were in Colorado. Okay. So they were at least able to make it to the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I like to always ask favorite things about each other. We kind of talked about that a little bit. I guess whistling and positivity.
Whistling can be a positive and a negative. But
oh, goodness. Judy, what do you admire most about Bruce?
I think I've always admired that he's ambitious. He has a plan and has to carry it out and get it done. And he's just always been real ambitious and motivated to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, so, I can see that.
Yeah.
Never sits down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's me.
Yeah.
But what I admire about Judy is she is so easy to get along with. And she's just very agreeable. I mean, you can't walk all over her. She won't put up with that, but she's very agreeable and she's a peacemaker.
Yeah. Which, I mean, having six children is
a gift. And I'm kind of an adversarial person. So it's good to be associated with somebody that is non-adversarial.
Yeah. Teaches you a thing or two.
I cannot think of any real serious arguments we've ever had. Can you? Maybe she can. I can't. Honest. We have disagreements, but I can't.
And I think after you've been married a long time, I mean, you know, you learn someone's strengths and their weaknesses, mm-hmm. and you know, you can't be butting heads all the time. One person has to understand what pushes the other person's buttons, and maybe you don't do that, but you will confront them in different ways. You know, you just, there's just some give and take, and like being a peacemaker to someone that's confrontational, you know, you just kind of do that.
Yeah. I think that if you have mutual respect for each other, that's true.
That's it.
For sure. But I can't say that that's one of the things that I love about you guys, because I would say that's accurate. You guys are 100% accurate about that, but I can see a lot of love and respect and admiration between the two of you. So it's
But I mean, when I'm really upset about something, then you kind of become the peacemaker. But generally,
that doesn't happen very often.
The other roles,
that's pretty cool.
Like the time you slapped Jennifer. Huh?
So, what are your favorite things to do when you were young, when you had six rambunctious kids?
Oh. I thought of something that we liked doing before we had kids.
Oh,
your life changes
before,
dramatically when you have children.
Yeah.
I don't know what you put down for that, but
well, one of the things was, what is one of your favorite memories with each other?
Oh, okay. I haven't gotten
that.
That's
a big one for me.
Yeah. Can you really say it on tape?
Oh, you too.
Sort of. see, we got married in December, and then come May, we were living in this little apartment. Come May, I had worked for Garrett Freight Lines in high school. So I was a member of the union, and I could, you know, most jobs are like a buck an hour. But if I went and worked for Garrett, went to Denver, I could make like $3.50 an hour, and that was a lot of money.
That was like probably $20 in today's time.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, probably more. Yeah.
It was really good. So I went to Denver that summer, and we were newlyweds and worked and lived with a family that we knew there. My folks didn't live there then, but I lived with a family that were good friends of my parents. And worked all summer, and then came back in August or September. I'm not sure, probably August.
Were you guys apart during that time?
Mm-hmm. The whole time. Judy was taking classes at BYU, and I was working. And the thing I remember most is when I saw her. I drove up, and I saw her. And I was so horny. She probably scared her, although she didn't seem scared at all. She was all in it, man.
3 months apart.
That was great. That was special. Not just that part of it, but the whole thing. Just being away for so long from each other and being newlyweds and hormones flying all over the place,
That's young.
Yeah.
Well, you'd been married, 6 months at that point, and then gone for three. Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. And you're, 23 at the time? Yeah, it all makes sense.
Judy's 20.
Oh, yeah. What about you? What's your favorite
memory? The favorite thing to do together that I remember.
Favorite memory?
Yeah, of doing what we did together when we were
had kids?
Before we had kids, we would do a lot of backpacking. And we would hike up to mountain lakes, or sometimes we'd just go fishing in the river. But we did a lot of backpacking and then put up a tent and stay out overnight or wherever we were going. And I just have fond memories of that. It was just fun. And you're up there in the woods all alone, and we were doing fishing and hiking, and it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing that. And those are, you know, things change when you have kids.
It gets a lot harder to do
it. It gets a lot harder.
Like that.
You just
so
can't do
work.
That.
Yeah.
So those, we did a lot of that before we had kids.
For 2 years. We did that all summer. And
even when we lived in Arizona and didn't have Jennifer yet, we would go out in the desert and hike and just spend time out there. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
What did you enjoy doing once you did have kids? Or was it just kind of a big blur?
It's been a big blur.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, between our church involvement and working and raising the six kids, probably the thing I remember the most was looking forward to Friday nights, because that was our night.
We had date night.
Friday nights.
That's right. We were talking about that the other night. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was the 10 bucks, 10 burgers. Here you go, kids. Yeah, see you later.
And then we'd go out.
And the kids liked it too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It was kind of fun.
But even with kids, we did a lot of things at the lake or at lakes. We'd go with my parents and my sister and her families up to Twin Lakes and, you know, rent a cabin and spend a week or four or five days. And then sometimes we go to Priest Lake and with all the kids. And then we spent a lot of time once we got the sailboat, taking the kids up to the lake.
Was that on Pondere?
On Pondere Lake. So I just remember when we did have kids, a lot of really fun things that we did were at the lake.
Yeah. That's what I would guess, just because of photographs.
Which still goes on today. But, a lot of good memories on the water.
Yeah. I will say, when I ask my kids, where's your favorite place in the whole world? Guess where?
The cabin.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. They love being at the lake.
We have a lot of good memories on the water.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah. They love it.
But to carry that further, the camping and fishing and, you know, hiking and those sort of things, those have carried over in a different way, though. What I find is, if I'm going to cut down a tree, Judy often will come out and help me. She's got her own thing. She's got her garden. She mows the lawns. I mow the bigger area, do all the tractor stuff, and, you know, but we're both out there doing it and doing it together.
Yeah.
Like being outdoors.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys support each other.
Yeah. And I have to go out when it's cutting down a tree just in case he cuts his leg off so I can take care of him.
That did almost happen once.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. You need Judy in our lives. For sure. So I guess we kind of went over our favorite things, but if you could sum it all up, what would you say you like the most about your relationship?
From the time I first met Judy, I was elected president of the institute because I was a return missionary. Most kids were, you know, younger so I was responsible for running the meetings and various things, and Judy would do all of it. Yeah. She had it to me. And I thought, this is great. You know, I want to marry this girl. Besides, she had good-looking legs and a nice figure. I mean, that was important, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's and she's still that way.
An enabler.
She's an enabler.
I mean,
she takes care of me.
She raised six children, and seven, including you, Bruce. You're right. And your kids are amazing. So
They're pretty good kids.
Yeah, I do.
And you just don't shut that off, you know, once the kids are gone. I mean, no. She's still that way.
Yeah. It's amazing what you orchestrate on a regular basis with these crazy family gatherings that we have.
She's hearing that from you. It really is. that's really important, because I think this is a generational thing. I think had we been your generation, you know, Judy probably would have gone on and been more involved in an occupation, not having six kids, maybe a couple of kids, you know, it would have been different.
Yeah. There's definitely each generation. There's a lot. Huge changes.
It changes.
And I'm looking at my kids and thinking, they may not have kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's kind of the way things are swinging a little bit. I mean, we'll see.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
And either whatever they decide, that's, you know, love and support them. But, you know, it's just most, every most generation brings something new, for sure.
Most of our friends who have a ton of kids like we do are great-grandparents by now. But we're not.
Don't give my kids any ideas.
No, I don't particularly want to be a great-grandparent.
You guys would be great at it.
But, yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm not ready to be a grandma, so okay, favorite things. Do we want to do hard things?
Do what?
Do we want to do hard things?
Hard things.
Yeah, because I've got a hard cute things. One I want to tell you about.
Oh, okay.
Our first disagreement.
Yeah, tell me about your first disagreement. Yes. What was it about?
Okay. I came home from work and I think this was still in Provo. And Judy had worked really hard that day fixing dinner. And the dinner was liver and onions.
Oh, gosh.
I hate liver with a passion. And she cried and got upset. I tried to eat it. And I dry heaved. I mean, it was disgusting. I could never eat liver.
Yeah.
And the second one was kind of similar to it. I came home a few weeks later and having dinner, and we were having spaghetti. And the spaghetti was green.
Green spaghetti?
Remember that?
Uh-huh. It wasn't an argument. I mean,
was it like a pesto?
That wasn't so much an argument.
But why was it green?
He had these pants that had to be dyed green. For his job.
I worked in a service station.
Oh, okay.
And so I just had this one huge kettle and I dug it and I, you know, washed the kettle and cleaned it out and cleaned it out and cleaned it out. But when you put the water in the kettle with the pasta, there was still some green that had leached into that kettle and it kind of turned the pasta green.
But did it make you dry heave?
No, it was just funny. I teased her and she didn't cry, get upset. It was more, we had a good laugh.
What I remember is our first argument was shortly after we were married, and he liked to go out and play basketball with his friends, but he would go like at 8 in the morning and get home about 1. It was 4 or 5 hours of playing basketball, and we only had the one car, so I had no car, so I was just at home all that time, and it was like, how can you possibly go play basketball for 5 hours?
It's on Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday.
My one day
and
off.
I'd be home, and I couldn't go anywhere, and I don't know.
And you needed to run your errands.
That was kind of an argument. Like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah. How did that get resolved?
Yeah.
I don't know. Learned to live with it.
Did you learn to play basketball for 1 hour?
He still played a long time. Yeah. I guess you pick your battles after a while, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah. You do. You learn which battles you need to go to war on.
Yeah.
What would you say? Well, do we want to talk about what's something difficult that you guys got through together?
Sure. We're okay with that.
No.
I mean, it's all children related, isn't it? Because I don't think we've gone through anything that was
personal just between the two of us.
Yeah. It's all involved the kids.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, you know, with Ben, some of the accidents and things with our kids that just were real trying, where you had kids in a hospital for a month or more. That's just hard. It's hard on the whole family.
Yeah. That is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd go one day and he was fine. The next day he was critical. We didn't know if we were going to ever bring him home from the hospital.
When he was two?
When he was little, he was just a baby crawling, nine. And he was burned really badly. And that was just a really hard time.
That's when Judy's folks were really helpful.
Yeah.
It's really nice when you have a
being near
support. I can't imagine people going through stuff like that all alone.
Yeah.
Without friends or family or neighbors that can step in. And, you know, we've had all of that, really.
You had a lot of support, and you guys were pretty young. I mean, you weren't even in your 30s at that time.
Yeah, we just had, you know, the three kids.
With three children.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot to go through.
So that was kind of hard. And then...
Yeah, Ben has 9 lives.
I just getting close to the 9th one, I'm afraid, but
yeah.
That's about the only thing I can really think of.
That was, you know, and it didn't really strain our marriage.
No.
But it was just a hard time.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So community is kind of what helped you guys get through.
Yes, yes.
That tough
was
time.
A lawyer just working for this law firm in Spokane. I had to drive into Spokane every day. We lived out in the valley then.
Okay. Yeah. So a bit of a drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get to advice. I think you guys have a lot of great advice, actually. And I've been the recipient of that from time to time. I've actually really appreciated it. So what have you learned most about keeping a good, strong relationship? And I can vouch that you guys, I do admire your relationship. What do you guys think the secret is?
Well, pick your battles.
Mm-hmm.
With your spouse or your kids, really, you know, you've got to decide, is this worth it? Worth the energy? But one thing I used to always write down, I'd go to bridal showers and they'd always have you write down a piece of advice. And I always wrote down a song lyric, and I don't know who wrote the lyrics, but the song was sung by Glenn Yarbrough in the 60s. And part of the lyric was, love at best is giving what you need to get. And I've just always felt that was key to a good relationship, you know, because you're not mind readers. And, you know, if you need to have more of one thing, well, then you should be giving it.
Yeah.
And if you're giving that, then it'll come back. And I always thought that was just always my little mantra song I would always play in my head.
I love that.
I wish I could still find that record album, but, you know.
She told me that when we were dating. You were... Glenn Yarbrough fan.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of his records when we were.
Yeah.
I love it. What would you say?
For my part, I would say the same thing, but I would put it a little differently. I think the thing that makes a good marriage is viewing your spouse as your best friend and somebody that you want to make better,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, that you want to build them up.
Yeah.
With their kids, with friends, you know, you want to say positive things about them. Because you love them and you want them to be happy and you want them to realize that, you know, they've made some great contributions. And sometimes you never, particularly moms, I think, back then, particularly, you know, like your mom, raising all these kids, and they don't get a whole lot of atta girls.
No. Yeah, it's a thankless job.
Yeah.
I have to say.
I think, and I often hear people say, you know, how blessed they are to have had a good marriage or how lucky they were. And I almost balk at that. I think, you're not blessed and you're not lucky. You work damn hard.
Yeah.
If you have a good marriage, it just doesn't come easy. It just doesn't show up. You know, if it's going to work and you're in there for the long haul, you work hard and you have to work. You have to keep working hard.
All relationships.
All the time. Preaching
to the choir.
I know, but you have to work really hard. And
you're a good example.
And whatever, but
you really are.
Well, whenever I hear that, though, that's my no. You weren't lucky. You worked hard.
No, and it's good for people to hear that because I think, I mean, relationships, people think, oh, they're supposed to be easy. Like if it's work, then you must be doing something wrong. But that's just the nature of relationships.
That's right.
In all relationships, if you want to have a good one.
Yes, all of them.
You do. You have to work at it for sure.
You do.
And you have to work really hard on yourself too, from time to time too. Ooh, this goes way, way back. And I feel like your grandchildren, if a lot of them are in that process of picking their partner. What would you say is the one attribute that is the most important thing to look for when picking out their partner?
Do you have a thought?
Our kids have always been really good about, I mean, we've been so happy to have the in-laws that we have. They're all just really good. But my grandkids, you know, I just think, just date someone who, you know, makes you feel good and makes you feel better about yourself. And isn't always just demanding that you make them feel better. I don't know.
I think that's great.
And date a lot.
Oh yeah, date a lot. That's our vanilla theory.
Yeah, you should share the vanilla theory.
The vanilla theory.
Yeah.
If you love vanilla ice cream and that's all you want, that's okay. But how do you know that you don't like chocolate or peanut butter or pistachio ice cream if you've never tried it? We'd always tell our kids, you know, you got to try a variety. You got to date a lot of people because there'll be good qualities in all of them. And then you'll decide that you want which qualities you're looking for and which you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make the choice. And if it's still vanilla, that's okay. But you've tried chocolate.
Yeah. I like that. What advice would you give? And that we're going to leave it on this one, unless there's anything else you guys want to share. But, well, this might be hard because you guys don't have a lot of disagreements. Resolving disagreements. I think we kind of have been talking about that all the whole time, about choosing your battles to begin with.
I do have some advice, though, because you always hear, never go to bed angry.
Yeah.
And right. I don't agree with that. I think if you're having a fight before bed, go to bed, get some sleep, get some rest. You probably won't be able to sleep because it's going to be on your mind, but go to bed and try to get some rest and look at it in the morning when it's a new day and you just see things differently rather than just keep going at it all night. So if you're having a bad argument or something, just go to bed. Even if it's in a different room, go to bed, sleep on it, and then work on it again the next day.
I
don't like
that. I hate that don't go to bed angry.
Because someone has to give in.
Your brain isn't working right when you're angry.
No.
You're tired too. You're angry and tired. You gotta get back online.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I agree 100%. Yeah.
Even if you won't sleep.
Yeah. It's okay to have a doghouse.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
And if you've got an issue with your spouse, don't bring it up at night when you're going to bed.
Because you want to be able to get some sleep.
Right. Bring it up at go out to dinner or someplace where you can sit and talk about it.
Having like regular check-ins can be helpful.
Friday nights.
Is that what Friday night date night was?
Yeah, talk about.
Usually we ended up talking about kids or scheduling or what's going on this week, but we talk about other things too. But you got to communicate.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Is Brad still stealing candy bars from
It's Jen's boyfriend still laying down on the floor in the back seat of the car. We had all kinds of things to talk about.
Oh, it's always exciting.
They were good kids. They are good kids.
I would agree. You guys have a pretty cool family. Is there anything else you guys want to share? Anything I didn't bring up or?
No. Other than we're really happy to have you as a daughter-in-law. You should know that.
Thank you. I feel very, very lucky. And I mean that, well, I will say that is one of the things that when I was dating Brad, that I knew 100% that he had an amazing family because he talked about them nonstop and how much he loved them. And I was like, that's somebody that I want to be with.
and
that was important to me.
And that's funny because of all of our kids, Brad was the one that hated his family and could hardly wait to move.
It was fake.
But he really did. We knew that that was an act. Yeah, he really did love
us. Totally was. Yeah. No, it was very apparent.
You know, he hated family only.
Oh.
He didn't he didn't want to wait for me to come home for dinner so we could all eat dinner together. He wanted to eat dinner when he wanted to eat it. Yeah, I mean, that's just Brad, you know.
He just wanted to be contrary.
Yeah, about everything.
Oh, it keeps you on your toes. It's been fun.
Yeah. I think, yeah, and it did.
It's been fun to see how different he is now, though. And,
yeah,
you know, he, family is so important to Brad. It really is. I don't think he expresses it a lot, like he never expressed it to us. We get it secondhand.
We've seen that with a lot of our kids, though. Brad, you know, just all these things he didn't want to do with the family, and didn't want to do this, and didn't want to do that. And now, you know, family's really important to him. Adam, his room was a pigsty. You couldn't even see the floor. There was so much stuff on it. And then he moved, and his roommate just said, he is just a neat freak. You know, everything had to be in the right place and in order and clean up. And it's like, okay, really? Okay.
Yeah, life. We do, yeah, kids.
And so they're kind of sure. Leave home and then they're kind of the opposite. Or maybe my theory is that they've grown up like Brad in a family that family was important. And even though they wanted to buck it all the time and they wanted to be the contrary person, once they were out there, then, oh, wait, those were their values. Yeah. And it was important. And the same with Adam. You know, he grew up in a pretty neat, tidy home, even though his room was a mess. And then when he went out there, though, he didn't like his roommate's messes. Mm. He had to have it neat and tidy.
That's funny. Same thing with Corbin, too.
Yeah.
That was his biggest complaint with his roommate last year, was what a slob his roommate was. And I just giggled. I'm like, oh, good. I'm glad you're appreciating that now.
Yeah. And I kind of see that with a lot of kids that, you know, they just hang in there because, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to miss that, and they're going to want their space kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was
the most fun.
I enjoyed
it. It
wasn't too painful.
You can edit, you know, edit out, whatever.
Nope, it all stays.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope there was some good tidbits.
Well, it was fun.
And I always tell listeners that they can go. We have a website.
Oh, yeah.
That they can go check out.
No, that what is it?
MyPerfectRomance.com.
MyPerfectRomance.com,
and it's got links to our episodes, upcoming things we're going to talk about. You can also send us your love stories or ask us any questions. You can give us suggestions for maybe some books or movies you'd like to review or have us review. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.